Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. All different types of meditation or mysticism are means for realizing Narayana. All austerities are aimed at achieving Narayana. Culture of transcendental knowledge is for getting a glimpse of Narayana. And ultimately, salvation is entering the kingdom of Narayana. Purport. In meditation, there are two systems of yoga, namely Ashtanga Yoga and Sankhya Yoga. Ashtanga Yoga is practice in concentrating the mind, releasing oneself from all engagements by the regulatory processes of meditation, concentration, sitting postures, blocking the movements of the internal circulation of air, etc. Sankhya Yoga is meant to distinguish the truth from ephemerals. But ultimately, both the systems are meant for realizing the impersonal Brahman, which is but a partial representation of Narayana, the personality of Godhead. As we have explained before, the impersonal Brahman effulgence is only a part of the personality of Godhead. Impersonal Brahman is situated on the person of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as such, Brahman is the glorification of the personality of Godhead. This is confirmed both in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Matsya Purana. Gati refers to the ultimate destination or the last word in liberation. Oneness with the impersonal Brahma Jyoti is not ultimate liberation. Superior to that is the sublime association of the personality of Godhead in one of the innumerable spiritual planets in the Vaikuntha sky. Therefore, the conclusion is that Narayana, or the personality of Godhead, is the ultimate destination for all kinds of yoga systems as well as all kinds of liberation. Om Adnyanti Mirandasya Jnana Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namahom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we are continuing our discussion of the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the shortest canto of Bhagavatam. And this particular canto, there are many wonderful things mentioned, including the structure of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is mentioned in the later chapters. So this particular chapter 5, we see the episode of Brahma approached by Narad Muni, and Narad Muni tells Brahma, "My dear father, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And Brahma corrects him. He says, "That's not true. I am not the Supreme." And then Brahma gives many different verses, and this is one of those verses. So this is a conversation between Lord Brahma and Narad Muni. And what is the essence of this conversation? That essence is captured in verse number 15 and 16. We are describing verse 16, where he says, Narayana paro yoga. Yoga system, generally, they say that the goal of yoga is to attain the Ashtasiddhis, the eight kinds of mystic opulences, Anima, Laghima, etc. However, the real goal of yoga is to connect with the Supreme Lord. Yoga, Hatha Yoga especially, is a matter of bodily postures. As Prabhupada says in the purport, it's controlling your body, and with the external you control the internal. By controlling the external, you can control the internal to some degree. For example, people who attend these different seminars on how to become happy by so many modern day so-called gurus, one of the things they say is, just put up a smile. Just put up a smile and you'll feel happy. Yeah, it works a little bit. It does work. Because this is the process of yoga. By steadying your body, you steady your mind. So first line describes how through bodily postures you can control the mind so that mind is fixed on the Lord. Yoga. Next line focuses on controlling through tapasya. One has to control the mind. So from body, the next line focuses on the mind. And Narayan is the goal of all tapasya. Tapasya, generally the goal is considered to be the realization of Paramatma feature of the Lord. However, the real goal of tapasya is not the Paramatma feature, but to realize the Supreme Lord's presence within one's heart and to connect with Him, to serve Him. The third line, Narayana Param Jnanam, focuses on Buddhi. So we can see Sharira, Manaha, Buddhihi. So we are going from the gross to the subtle. So the third line talks about knowledge. To cultivate knowledge, you have to have intelligence. And the goal of all knowledge is Narayana. And Narayana Paragatihi. The goal of life is to serve Narayana. There is another way of looking at this verse, which is a very internal way of understanding Brahma's mind. So Brahma is talking this to Narada, and Brahma is thinking, Narayana Paro Yogo. I sat in meditation. When I appeared from the lotus flower, I sat in meditation, knowing not what exists. What did Brahma see when he first appeared on the top of the lotus flower? He saw darkness all around. And then he heard. He heard the waters of the Milky Ocean splashing. You know, like you go on a beach and late at night, middle of the night, and you hear, I was once in Croatia with Bhakti Charu Maharaj, and on the beach some devotees said, let's go in the evening. Instead of evening, we went well past midnight. And you could hear only, you couldn't see much, because it was Amavasya, full moon day. You could hear the waves. So similarly, Brahma could hear the waves. And he could see nothing. He was scared. That time he started meditating. And what did he hear? Two syllables. So when he sat in yoga, he heard two syllables. What did he hear? Tapa. And immediately he understood, I have to concentrate. So he concentrated. So what was the goal of that tapa? He realized jnanam. So he's actually relating his own personal journey here. Jnanam. He realized in his heart through Saraswatya Prachodayat. Bhagavatam says, Divya Saraswati, the divine Saraswati, who exists before Brahma. There is another Saraswati which comes out of Brahma, which people worship as the goddess of knowledge. So this divine Saraswati, which pre-exists Brahma, she inspired Brahma from the heart, and the Lord, through his flute, like Bhagavatam says, the first verse, Tene Brahma Ridaya Adi Kavaye Muyanti Yat Surayaha. The divine knowledge of the Vedas was transferred from the heart of the Lord into the heart of Brahma. So, Narayana is the goal of knowledge. And Narayana Paragatihi. What does Brahma do constantly? You see, Brahma's photograph, he's not dancing in Harinam, he's not. Well, Haridas Thakur was. But Brahma in his four-headed form, he's meditating. Like Lord Shiva, he's meditating always. Who is he meditating on? He's meditating on Narayana. So it is said there are many ways to cut the mustard, as they say. There are many ways to attain the Supreme Lord. There's a very nice little story. There were four disciples of a particular guru, and they all approached him and said, "Please tell us, how do we find out the Supreme? How do we find God?" So the guru said, "Okay, I shall tell you, come tomorrow." So they went the next day, and the guru took him to a pile of hay, a haystack. And the guru said, "There is a needle which is hidden in the haystack. If you can find the needle in the easiest possible way, that is the easiest possible way to find guru, to find God." So, disciple number one, he said, "Okay." He went ahead and he started just grappling with hay, just physically, you know, trying to throw things around and trying to find it. Unsuccessful. Came back. The second disciple went, he thought, "Well, this is going to be difficult if I just randomly do it." So he started taking one straw at a time and putting it aside. It took a long time to find the needle. Even the first person found the needle, but it took a long time. The third disciple, he said, "Well, this is taking too long. I want to accelerate it." So he took fire, you know, fire stick, and he burnt all the hay. And what was remaining was the needle. But in the process, there was so much smoke, he almost strangled to death. And the fourth disciple, he understood that the needle gets attracted to magnet. So he took a magnet and he just swooned the magnet around, and the needle jumped out to the magnet. That was the easiest, that was the quickest. So the guru called them to the ashram and said, "You have described the four methods of approaching God. The first method is," excuse me, "the first method is physical, through grappling with the hay, grappling with this world of Maya, of illusion, and just trying to block it out somehow by performing Ashtanga Yoga. Very physical. But it's a hard process." The second disciple, who took one straw at a time, followed the process of Jnana. In the process of Sankhya Yoga or Jnana Yoga, you read the Upanishad and you read that this is not Brahma. This is not Brahma. Is this wall Brahma? No. This light Brahma? No. This mic Brahman? No. Where is Brahman? So neti, 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 neti process. The Upanishad says na iti, not this, not this, not this. So you eliminate, like the second disciple eliminated the various straws. That is also a very difficult process. The third disciple followed the path of tapasya. Burn everything. Do so much tapasya. Tapas literally means to burn. He burned the entire hay, but it is very difficult. You cannot control your mind and senses. Not easy. unless you have a positive engagement. And the fourth disciple was like a bhakta. By just cultivating a heart which is soft and attracts the Lord Himself, tams tathaiva bhajami aham, the Lord Himself will come running like the needle jumping out of the hay. So this is the highest process. Narayana paragati. The ultimate goal is Narayana. Now one may wonder, moving on to another topic, one may wonder why Narayana is mentioned here. One should mention Krishna is the ultimate goal or Vasudeva is the ultimate goal. So actually in the first canto chapter 2 verse 28 and 29 we find that the same verse is spoken, but it's spoken as Vasudeva. Vasudeva paraveda, Vasudeva paramakha, Vasudeva parayoga, Vasudeva parakriya, Vasudeva param jnanam, Vasudeva param tapa, Vasudeva parodharmo, Vasudeva paragati. Here it says Narayana paragati. So the acharyas have explained that one should see this verse in relation to the entire context of the Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam, the Paribhasha Sutra, Jiva Goswami says of Bhagavatam, the definition sutra of Bhagavatam is Krishnastu Bhagavana Swayam. That Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you have to understand that and apply it everywhere in all the verses of Bhagavatam. So in that sense, Narayana is defined as Naranam Ayanam Iti Narayanaha. Naranam Ayanam, he who is the shelter of all living entities. He is Narayana, he is Krishna. So here where it says Narayana Paragati, it means Krishna Paragati. One has to always consider the essence. Once there was a father and a son, and the father was, you know, he entrusted his son with some nice fruits. They were farmers, so they had a pile of fruits. The father said, I'm just going to the market to get something. You look after the fruits. Make sure that the crows don't come and peck the fruits. So the father went to the market, he came back. And there were no fruits. They were all gone. So the father was annoyed. He said, son, what did you do? Where are the fruits? He said, father, I made sure that there were no crows pecking the fruits. He said, and what happened? Where are the fruits? So he said, but all the monkeys took it. So if you look at one instruction, don't let the crows peck the fruits. But of course, the essence is protect the fruits from everyone. So similarly, the essence of Bhagavatam is Krishnastu Bhagavana Swayam. That is the Paribhasha Sutra. So in that light, this verse says Vasudeva Paragati. Now, for devotees, we can see that the goal of yoga is attained by the devotees without any effort. The goal of tapasya is attained by devotees without any effort. The goal of jnana is attained by devotees without any effort. And the ultimate goal of life is also attained by devotees without any effort. However, those who want to follow only yoga, tapa, jnana, or just focus on gati here means mukti. Sridhar Swami says gati means mukti. Those who only want to follow, focus on these. For them also, Bhagavatam has, and Srimad Bhagavad Gita has given direct understanding. So we find in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, what is the goal of yoga? Krishna says in chapter 6 in Bhagavad Gita, samam kaya shiro grivam sit properly. Prabhupada also told one devotee, while chanting he wasn't sitting properly. He said, sit properly. So, but here this sit properly is very proper. It says, samam kaya shiro grivam. Your body, your head, and your griva, which means your neck, has to be straight like this. Completely straight line. Going in the forest. Dharayan achalam sthira. So that sitting straight is asana. Dharayan achalam sthira. Focus the mind and the breath without moving. Breathe without moving. Except for your nostrils, nothing should actually move. That is pranayama. Samprekshya nasika gram swam. Then focus your eyes half closed, not fully closed, otherwise you go to sleep. So half closed, you focus on the nose, tip of the nose, in that posture. That is the niyama. Dishas chanavalokayan. And do not look anywhere else. This is pratyahara. There are 8 limbs of yoga. Krishna gives this in Bhagavad Gita. These are the 4 limbs. Then he says, prashant atma vigadabhi. Don't be afraid if a lion comes there. Don't be afraid. Or don't be disturbed. Prashant atma. Don't be disturbed if a bird does his job on you. Don't be disturbed. Prashant atma and vigadabhi. Don't be afraid of lions, snakes, cobras. Don't be afraid. Go to the forest and meditate like this. This is yama. And don't think in your mind of enjoying life of a grihastha. Brahmachari vrate sthitaha. Be a brahmachari in your mind and senses. This is dharana. Manaha samyamya machitto. Control your mind. This is dhyana. And yukta asita matparaha. And always think of me. So after doing all this, what do? Always think of me. This is the goal of yoga. So what is the goal of yoga? Narayana is the goal of yoga. We then have the goal of tapasya. Srimad Bhagavatam. The 100 sons of Rishabhdev. They approached Rishabhdev and said, my dear father, you are an expansion of the Supreme Lord Himself. So 5th canto of Bhagavatam we find this. So please tell us. Please tell us. What is the essence of life? And Rishabhdev says, Nayam deho deha bhajam drunoke. This body is not given to you for enjoyment. Na ayam deha deha bhajam drunoke. Kashtan, kaman, arhate, vidbhujamye. Vidbhuja, those who enjoy stool. Who's that? A hog. They enjoy relish. Nice, fresh, soft, slightly runny stool. How does that feel? Disgusting, isn't it? But they enjoy it. And this is the first instruction of Rishabhdev to his sons. If you enjoy kashtan kaman, you work hard and then enjoy at night in the pub. If you work hard and enjoy, it is vidbhujamye. You are just enjoying the soft, fresh, slightly warm, runny stool. Like a pig, like a hog. That is what you are doing. Instead, what should you do? Tapo divyam tapasya. Tapaha, second line. Tapo divyam putrakayena sattvam. Cultivate tapasya. Why should you cultivate tapasya? Shuddhyet yasmad brahma saukhyam tvanantam. You will ultimately, if you cultivate tapasya, you will purify your heart and you will be blissfully serving the Supreme Lord. So the goal of tapasya is to serve the Supreme Lord. What is the goal of jnana? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudevah sarvam iti sa mahatma sudurlabha. after many, many births. Bahunam janmanamante. Everyone sitting here, how long you been sitting here? Maybe 24 minutes, roughly. 24 minutes. But Bhagavad Gita says you have been sitting here after many, many lifetimes. For many, many lifetimes. Bahunam janmanam ante. Many lifetimes you sat. Many lifetimes, your previous life. Many lives. And then you came to the point to sit here in front of the Lord. Look at the Lord and say, Vasudeva sarvam iti. Krishna is everything. Sa mahatma sudurlabha. Such a great person is very, very rare. Labha means easy to find. Durlabha means difficult to find. Sudurlabha means extremely, extremely difficult to find. So that is the goal of knowledge. Jnanavan, one who has got knowledge, he considers Vasudeva sarvamiti. To understand Krishna is everything. And what is the goal of one's existence? Etavan Sankhya Yoga Abhyam, Bhagavatam says, second canto. Sankhya and Yoga and all the other process, Swadharma Parinishthaya, by following your own dharma, by doing your karmas properly. Janmalabha Parapumsam. Janmalabha Parapumsam. The greatest goal of life. Goal. Gati. The greatest goal of life is what? Ante Narayana Smriti. Ante. If at the end of your life you are not able to remember Narayana, Krishna, then everything you did throughout your life is parishrama eva, is only difficult, fruitless, hard work. So, ante narayana smriti, the gatihi, narayana paragatihi. The goal of life is narayana. So we have many examples in the Shastra of devotees who actually exemplified these. Today is the disappearance day of Abhiram Thakur. And when Jai Krishna Prabhu was singing that wonderful kirtan, every time he spoke the word Nitai or Nityananda, my heart was jumping. I wasn't jumping, but my heart was jumping. My heart was jumping because Abhiram Thakur, who was also known as Ramadas, he was the best friend and the closest associate of Nityananda Prabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu loved him so much. In fact, it is mentioned how Abhiram appeared in this world. How did Abhiram appear in this world? So Narahari Chakravarti Thakur mentions it in Bhakti Ratnakar, chapter 4. Also, it is mentioned by Vrindavan Das Thakur in Aishwaryamrit Kavya, which is not translated actually. Who was this Abhiram Thakur? One must hear about him to invoke his mercy. So it is said, and I will just summarize the gist of who he was. He was Shridama Sakha in his previous life. You know Krishna's friend Shridama? Radharani's brother Shridama? He was Shridama Sakha, Abhiram Thakur. And the pastime goes like this, that once Krishna and Balram and all the friends, gopas, they were playing hide and seek. And Shridama and everyone else, they hid in various places, some behind the trees, some inside the Yamuna, some in the caves. And Shridama was one of them who hid in a cave. He ran as far as he could and he hid inside a cave on Govardhan. So Krishna and Balram, they found everyone. Actually, it was Balram's turn to find everyone. So Balram went and found everyone. And then Krishna said, oh, let's go to another spot and play. So Krishna went to Navadvip. And as soon as they entered Navadvip, Krishna became Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Balaram became Nityananda, and all the Sakhas, the 12 Gopals, the 11 Gopals, they became the different personalities that are in Chaitanya Leela. But they forgot Sri Rama for some reason. And then Krishna reminded Balaram, Nityananda Prabhu, where is Sri Rama? So Nityananda said, oh, we've forgotten him in Vraj. Let me go and fetch him. So Nityananda ran back to get Sri Rama. He searched for him and he found him in a cave. And Sri Rama, when he came out, he saw this little boy, half his height. The average human height, or now we say it's a good height, of humans in Kali Yuga is 6 feet. By the end of Kali Yuga, it becomes 1/3, 2 feet is the good height. The tallest person is 2 feet. That's, now we would call them as midgets, but they are coming. It's coming in the future. So, we are 6 feet, and the average height in the previous Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, was double. So 12 feet. Average height of all men was 12 feet. So, Sri Rama was 12 feet and Nityananda is 6 feet or 7 feet. So Sri Rama says, you are not Balaram. Balaram is taller than me. You are somebody else. I don't trust you. So Nityananda said, I am Balaram. Okay, I have a proof. You know, when we do a running race, I always catch you in 3 steps. So when we do go, in 3 steps I catch you. That's the proof that I'm Balaram. So Sri Rama said, yeah, we can do that. So, okay, 1, 2, 3, go. And in 3 steps, Nityananda Prabhu caught Sri Rama. Sri Rama said, yes, I know you are Balaram. But I'm really upset with you all. You couldn't even think of me? You couldn't wait for me? How could you just forget me? So he was very angry. Somehow Nityananda Prabhu convinced him to come to Navadvip. As soon as he entered Navadvip, he became Ramadas. Balaramdas, Ramadas, Abhiramdas. This is Abhiram Thakur. So Abhiram Thakur had a very angry mood. However, he had attained complete perfection of yoga, tapa, jnana and gati. Because he was a great devotee. We will see how very quickly. So he lived in a place called Khankula, which is in Hooghly. Hooghly is in Calcutta, near Calcutta. In fact, the river that flows through Calcutta is also called Hooghly. And he was so connected to Nityananda Prabhu that his mind was always with Nityananda. Not only was his mind with Nityananda, but we know Nityananda Prabhu is he's an avadhuta. Avadhuta means one who doesn't follow rules and regulations of this world. Ava means away. Dhuta means world. Away from the world. He's away from the world. He's not worldly. So because Abhiram Thakur was absorbed in the thoughts of Nityananda, he also had very mystical ways of acting. Like Nityananda Prabhu, when he was very happy with how Advaita Acharya served them prasadam, he was in his heart, he was very happy. What did he do? Hey Advaita, you are so miserly. You don't serve enough. Please serve more. When Advaita said, well, this is everything, he kicked Advaita in the chest. This is his way of showing mercy. Avadhuta, very strange. And for the crocodiles in Ganga, when he would go on Harinam with Haridas Thakur, he would say, oh, look at these, they are my friends. He would jump in the Ganga and embrace the crocodiles. So very strange behavior. Abhiram Thakur was like that. He had a nice way of greeting guests, especially those he loved. He had a whip, a cane. You know, you must have seen how they use the cane for the horses, you know. So like that, but very thick, big cane. And when he would feel a lot of love for someone, especially the Vaishnavas, he would take out his whip. The whip was called Jaya Mangala. Jaya means glories, Mangala means auspiciousness. And he would take his whip and he would start whipping that Vaishnava. And with every whip, the Vaishnava would become, of course, he would start jumping. No, not like we jump in Harinam voluntarily. The Vaishnava would jump because he's being whipped. But with every whip, he would experience love of Godhead. So this is how connected he was, yoga, connected he was with Nityananda Prabhu. So his whip was very famous. Also, he was so connected with the Lord in yoga, so connected that in his dream he saw Gopinath deities. In the dream, they told him, please take us out from the mound. We are hiding. Please take us out and worship us. And he dug, in his dream, he dug them out. And there was a big pond which formed, which is today it's still there, which is known as Ramakund. And the deity of Gopinath, he started worshipping them in his dream. And in the morning when he woke up, there was a pond called Ramakund, and there were the deities of Gopinath. This is how connected he was to the Lord. Once, Srinivas Acharya, the great scholar, he was asked by Janva Mata to visit Abhiram Das. And when Janva Mata had instructed him, so Srinivas went to Abhiram's house. Abhiram, looking at Srinivas, felt so much joy. What did he do? He immediately reached out for his whip. He took his whip. Srinivas didn't know what's happening and he started hitting him. 3 times he hit him. And Malini Devi, who was Abhiram Thakur's wife, intervened and said, are you going to kill him? You're whipping him so hard. So Abhiram Thakur said, no, I'm just so happy with him. This is what I feel. So much happiness. So, you know, you can have Vaishnavas who are like that. Some Vaishnavas can be like that. They can whip us. Well, I hope not physically, but verbally there are many. Some Vaishnavas, they whip us just through their eyes. I have a very nice rasa with one particular Vaishnava. When he sees me, his eyes changes. So, very nice. So I think of Narsingadev when I look at him. Narsingadev is so happy with me. Anyway, we should never offend anyone. We should from our hearts be always receiving, even a angry glance we can receive happily. Because we are here to cultivate our hearts. Krishna consciousness is a process to change ourselves. So, tapasya. What was the tapasya? How much tapasya, the phala, the fruit of tapasya did Abhiram Thakur have? He was so powerful because, you know, like we have many yogis in the Shastra. For example, we have, who is the yogi that tests? Amrish Maharaj, yes, Durvasa Muni. Great yogi, lot of tapasya. So with the sight of Durvasa, it is said, just by his sight, he could burn someone to ashes. That was his tapasya. Abhiram Thakur also had the fruit of tapasya. You know what was his fruit of his tapasya? He would just come to some place where there are deities and he would, even Shaligram, he would pay obeisances. And the Shaligram Shila would break into 100 pieces. Now, how can Shaligram break? only the fake shaligrams would break into 100 pieces. He would come, for example, wherever he would go, those who were atheists, those who were pseudo-devotees, Abhiram Thakur was very humble. He was just doing his natural, out of natural humility. He was just paying obeisances. But shaligram, fake shaligram, so many Babajis, they would have fake shaligram shilas. They would run away looking at Abhiram approaching because they were thinking, oh, if he pays obeisances, my shaligram is gone and everyone will know I am fake, and so they would run away. This was his tapasya. When Nityananda Prabhu had his first son, Abhiram Thakur went to his house and he said, Nityananda Prabhu, your son, he paid obeisances to his son. Immediately his son died. Second son, same. Seventh son, same. Abhiram Thakur comes, pays obeisances, the son dies. And he would just stand up and he would say, Prabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, it was just meant to be. I didn't do anything. I'm just paying my obeisances. Maybe they are not pure. Then a daughter was born. They named her Ganga Devi. And Abhiram Thakur paid obeisances. He paid obeisances to Ganga Devi, and while paying obeisances, he stood up and she was still smiling. He paid obeisances again. He stood up, she was still smiling. He said, maybe I was not focused. He paid obeisances again, 12 times. She was still smiling. And after 12 times paying obeisances, while she was still smiling, Abhiram Thakur composed Ganga Stotra. Where the first verse he says, I am Shridama, who is very angry at heart because these Krishna, Balram, they cheated me, they didn't take me to Navadvip. So Abhiram Thakur was a very angry person at heart in one sense. So he said, I am Shridama and nobody can take my obeisances except for Ganga, because Ganga is so pure and so are you. So this way he glorified Ganga Devi, who is the daughter of Nityananda Prabhu. And then the next personality that was born was Veerabhadra Acharya, son of Nityananda Prabhu. Him also he paid obeisances, and Veerabhadra survived and he composed Veerabhadra Ashtakam. So this is tapasya, jnana. He had all the knowledge. In fact, you know, he tested this with Gopal Guru Goswami also in Puri. And Gopal Guru Goswami was a little boy who Mahaprabhu loved very much in Puri, in Gambira. And when Gopal Guru Goswami, well, he was given name Guru later on by Mahaprabhu. His name was Gopal. When Gopal heard that Abhiram Thakur is coming to see Mahaprabhu in Puri, Gopal wanted to hide. So Mahaprabhu said, what is the matter? So Gopal said, I have heard that if he pays obeisances, the person standing opposite him just dies, falls flat, instant death. So Mahaprabhu said, you don't need to worry. Mahaprabhu put his feet on the forehead of Gopal Guru Goswami, and the mark of Mahaprabhu's feet were on the forehead of Gopal Guru Goswami, and therefore nothing happened when Abhiram Thakur paid obeisances. So like that, that is tapasya. Jnana, he was really learned about the Shastra. He would do charcha with a scholar, somebody who was propounding Mayavad or something else, Navya Nyaya. He would have a discussion with them. But the scholar, knowing Abhiram Thakur's A, his knowledge of scriptures, he was scared. But B, he was also scared, even if I defeat this person, the person who is defeated has to pay obeisances to the person whom he defeated. So they were thinking, even if I defeat this person, I'm finished. So I can't. So they were all the pseudos, they were all running away. This was the glory of Abhiram Thakur. And finally, Gati. The final destination, it is said Narottam Das Thakur, it is mentioned in Bhakti Ratnakara, that Narottam Das Thakur visited all the associates of Mahaprabhu, and he visited he visited in Hooghly the house of Abhiram Thakur. And Abhiram Thakur was so absorbed, because Nityananda Prabhu had left this world. He was so absorbed that we say Ante Narayanas Smriti. At the end, one should remember Narayan, but that is not possible unless you remember Narayan all your life. Isn't it? Unless you remember Narayan all your life, you can't remember him just at the end of your life. Actually, Shankaracharya says this in his commentary of Bhagavad Gita. What is that verse where it says one should remember? Okay, it'll come to my mind. So he was so absorbed, Abhiram Thakur, in Nityananda Prabhu, that he did not even recognize Narottam Das Thakur. Usually, when he would see a devotee, he would take his whip. When he would see a fake person, he would pay them obeisances. Instant death. Finished. Including their deities would fall apart. So very powerful person. So this was his absorption. So we see Abhiram Thakur actually exemplified somebody who had all four. So very relevant verse. So I shall stop here. If you have any questions, comments, corrections, please let me know. Yes, Prabhu.
Does it have like a parentage?
He has a parentage, yes. He does have a parentage.
And he's he kind of merchant or his body or something when Lord Nityananda took him to Navadvip, as you said. How that happened?
So there is parentage of Abhiram Thakur, like there is parentage of Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, everyone. His parents are not explicitly mentioned, but it is mentioned he appeared in the house of a Brahmana. So he had Brahmanical heritage, which is mentioned. I am not aware of the name of his parents, but definitely.
When he was taken from the cave by Nityananda, kind of merged of same personality present already, or
yes, it was. He was the same person, but this pastime happened, and then they go back to Vraj. All the boys, they become Krishna Balaram again, and then when Mahaprabhu comes back in Navadvip, all these personalities. Maybe you know we should do a drama on Abhiram Thakur. It's a very it has all the rasas. It is said that there are 5 primary and 12 secondary rasas. And Bharat Muni in his Natya Shastra, he says the purpose of dramas is to invoke at least 3 primary rasas and 3 secondary rasas. So we see this Abhiram Thakur is a personality which has. We should do dramas of all these great associates of Mahaprabhu. And actually Nityananda Tiradashi, if we do drama of associates of Nityananda, Nityananda is even more pleased. Likewise with Gaur Purnima, likewise you do drama of Hanumanji. Jai Krishna Prabhu is right here. He's the Sutrakar, Sutrakarta, which is director, Nirdeshaka. Okay, any other questions or comments? Anyone? No, it's not Bhaja Govinda, it's from Bhagavad Gita. Okay, it's from Bhagavad Gita. I can't get it in my head right now. Yes, there was another question. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Shri Prabhu. We can see that because of the effects of Kali Yuga and how the mind is really disturbed, that it's really hard to practice properly this devotional service. So is there any recommendation? Should we do a bit of yoga tapasya or jnana to kind of mitigate or help us in our devotional service?
Yeah, should we do yoga, tapasya, jnana for devotional service, given that it's very hard in this age? Actually, bhakti includes both jnana and vairagya. Bhakti, one who performs bhakti, they are automatically doing jnana, and vairagya is a combination of tapasya and yoga. So when we are chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, that is yoga. When we are following the four regulative principles, that is tapasya. You cannot have onion, garlic, fish, eggs, meat, no illicit sex, no gambling, no watching TV, no watching movies. It's too much tapasya. No watching football. Oh, that is really difficult. So, no intoxicants. Not even tea and coffee. Satswarup Das Goswami, he asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, our movement is growing, but so many hippies are not joining us. This is in 1960s, late 60s. Satswarup Das Goswami, he writes in his book, I asked Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, to make our movement famous and big and to have more people join, can we just cut down one regulative principle? We can just say, no meat eating. That's fine. Most of the hippies are fine with that. No intoxicant. Well, that's a difficult one, but I think they'll get over it. No gambling. Well, hippies are beggars anyway. They have got nothing to gamble. But no illicit sex. Oh, this one, Prabhupada, this, we find it very difficult. So Srila Prabhupada looked at him in the eye and said, the Shastra have not given different rules for the Americans. So we will follow the four regulative principles. Tapasya. So bhakti means tapasya is there. Jnana, divya jnana, the divine knowledge, Bhagavatam, that we are studying right now is jnana. So this is our process of following yoga, constantly meditating on the Lord. Chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we are meditating on the Lord. Tapasya, four regulative principles. Jnana, reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Yoga also means deity worship. And gatihi, ultimately in our life we want to attain the Supreme. So many lives we did many things, but this is the life to do the right thing. Isn't it? What's the harm? Let's just try one life. Well, the Christians and the Muslims, they say there's only one life. We also kind of say the same thing. But we say that one life is this life. To go back to Godhead, to serve the Lord eternally. In that sense, this is the only life. In that sense. Otherwise, we've had many lives. Okay, anyone else? Any comments? Yes, Prabhu?
Sorry, keep it there, but just one split second. You said something at the beginning about Lord Brahma. He was very perturbed by hearing waves of Milky Ocean.
Yeah.
That Garbhodaka Ocean, not Milky Ocean.
Yes, that is the Garbhodaka Ocean.
You mentioned Milky Ocean.
Kshirasagara. Kshirasagara, Garbhodaka Ocean is also known as Kshirasagara.
That means when Lord created the eggshell of our universe, which is empty.
The eggshell was floating on the Garbhodaka Ocean.
And then he fills up half of this universe.
Correct.
With Garbhodaka water again, isn't it?
Yes, correct.
So milk Garbhodaka is the same?
Yes, it is Milky Ocean. Yeah. It's milky in color.
Yeah.
It's not that somebody added milk to water and made the ocean, but
this,
milky
one
color.
Of the oceans surrounding Jambudvip is milky ocean.
Surrounding Navadvip?
Surrounding Jambudvip.
Jambudvip, yes.
It's different.
That is different. That ocean of milk is different. That ocean of milk, ocean of wine, ocean of sugar, ocean of curd, those are different oceans. Fifth canto Bhagavatam. That is a Jambudvipa geography, which is in the planosphere, And that those oceans are not physical oceans, they are subtle. Those are subtle oceans.
And Garbhodaka is even more subtle.
Garbhodaka is spiritual. It's not even subtle, it's spiritual. Garbhodaka is spiritual, so there's a difference between subtle. Mind is subtle, soul is spiritual. Right? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktivrinda ki jai. Sri Ramdas Abhiramdas Thakur ki jai.